Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to Boiler Up Down South. I am Garrett Shearman here with Drew Schneider.
What's up?
And we're going to be talking some Iowa previews today. That game is going to be Saturday, 3:30 in Iowa. And that's 3:30 Eastern time. And so, yeah, we're going to pay some bills and get right into it right after this commercial break.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, and we're back. Garrett, let's just go ahead and start with the offense. Now, we watched Iowa play so the good folks out there in podcast land didn't have to put themselves through that.
We make sacrifices for all of you.
We do. And we're happy to do it. But Like, I had to just make it through one Iowa game requires more caffeine than most of people can consume.
Enough caffeine to hospitalize a small child.
That's right. That's right. So, and this is the same Iowa team that we're used to seeing. Defense, special teams, the goal of the offense is to not mess it up for the defense and the special teams. This year, coming into the season, it looked like Iowa was going to try something a little different. They went out, signed Cade McNamara, Michigan's starting quarterback last year for the most of the time.
He won a Big Ten championship for him.
Yeah, but you know he hurt himself in fall camp, apparently, and he hasn't been 100%. And finally, just whatever was wrong with him gave out against Michigan State, and backup quarterback Deacon Hill looks like he's going to be the guy the rest of the way for the Hawkeyes, and clearly that was something they were trying to avoid, but the Wisconsin quarterback is coming in, and these are pretty much his first snaps. He's a Wisconsin transfer, but he's a big'un, 6'3", 260, big boy, big arm, not super mobile, which I'm hoping remains the case.
Yeah, because imagine 260. Like, the guy's built like some defensive ends.
Yeah, no, like, he's a big dude. And but I haven't seen him run much, so that gives me a little comfort, as he might be the first actual, like, pocket passer Purdue faces this year. Iowa's run game, always tough. This year, really struggled, though. Teams have been, especially recently, loading that box up against the run game and really challenging Iowa to throw it. LaShawn Williams is their go-to, or is their starting back, but that might change this week. They have, let's see, what is his name? Sorry, hold it with me, folks. I got it. Yeah, so running back. Normally an Iowa staple this year, the running game just hasn't got going as much as you would think, especially the team that sort of struggled to throw the ball. Teams are really just loading up that box and begging Iowa to beat them through the air. They do get a big boost coming back. Caleb Johnson, who was injured in, I think, their second game of the year, is back. And if Purdue fans don't remember that name, he had 22 carries for 200 yards and two touchdowns last year in the beatdown against the Boilermakers. So he's definitely a capable back, and he's definitely, has a feel for Purdue. His only other 100-yard game was against Iowa at the end of last season.
Iowa?
I'm sorry, against Nebraska. Iowa and Nebraska are the same as far as I'm concerned.
Don't tell the people who really care about whose corn is better quality that you just said that.
Well, I mean, Indiana's corn is clearly the best. I don't even know why they're fighting over it. But
this episode was brought to you by Indiana Corn.
That's right. John Deere. No, just kidding. Unless John Deere wants to sponsor
us. Yeah, John Deere, give us money.
Caleb Johnson, though, big comeback off an ankle. We'll see how many carries he gets. Is his ankle 100%? Is it one of those things where he's going to be kind of limping around? We'll see. Other than Johnson, LaShawn Williams is their other guy. And he's, capable. Hasn't shown a ton this year as far as against big-name teams, but he's still averaging 5.7 a carry.
Shockingly, he's the only one without a touchdown, though.
Shockingly, yes. But he also is a good receiver out of the backfield with 7 receptions for 50 yards and a touchdown. So that'll be something Purdue needs to look for. Are those sort of wheel routes. They like the wheel route. They like moving their running back out of the backfield as a receiver.
Something we've kind of gotten some success with Maccabee, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So Iowa probably look to do the same. As far as skill position guys go, Eric Hall's their guy. He's the latest in a long line of Hawkeye tight ends. He, interestingly enough, 4 years at Michigan before transferring to Iowa for his fifth year this season. So far on the year, he's got 14 receptions for 183 yards and two touchdowns, which leads Iowa by far. The second leading receiver for Iowa is Luke Lachey, another tight end, but he broke his leg, so he is out for the year. So really all sort of focuses on Eric All. And they're going to use him a lot like Purdue used Payne Durham last year. Not only are you going to see him used in like the intermediate passing game, but he's a guy they like to get matched up and then try on a safety and try to go deep. They also like to use him in the screen game, where they throw a lot of tight end screens and get the ball into Eric All's hands. You know, he's 6'3", 250, good athlete, hard to bring down. And really, like, if you circled anybody on this Iowa offense that Purdue needs to control, it's Eric All, because he's the one guy that can beat you by himself. Or at least the one guy that can beat you by himself that we know of. And so, Eric All, it's going to be a tough matchup. I'm not sure who gets it, really. Kane, maybe the guy that Purdue ends up sticking on him, but Kane's such a big advantage in the run game here recently, where he's just been getting in the backfield and causing havoc. You know, Cam Allen, is Allen physical enough to play with him? If All gets a tackle, can Allen get him on the ground? That may be a matchup we're having to watch. I'm not sure what Purdue does against a tight end like this.
I kind of feel like, especially with the new quarterback, they're going to try to treat All kind of like as the safety blanket security valve, or I guess security blanket safety valve, one way or another. And hopefully he's not Eric All they need to win. But, like, I think he's definitely the one that's the biggest question mark in how you cover him.
Right.
In general. Who do you stick on him? Do you sacrifice a little bit of your linebacking core to stick somebody who's more physical on him? Or do you go with a guy like Cam Allen, who you kind of question his physicality? It's the main puzzle, I think, that the Purdue defense is going to have to figure out this week.
Yeah, and it's the one real sort of spot. There's two sort of spots in this Purdue defense. In that slot corner, who's going to take the slot guy? And then out of linebackers, who's going to take a big-time tight end like All? Because, I mean, we've seen brothers try to do it, and it hasn't worked well.
He'll be back this week, so maybe he'll have a new superpower where he can cover badass tight ends. Ooh, I just said a bad word.
Oh, and or, you know, Yanni played well. I see him more as a box linebacker.
Yanni played great, let me correct you there.
He did. I see him more as a box linebacker, but maybe he's a guy that can control All. And like I said, then you go to the safeties and you sort of look and say, I would think Kane's the guy there. But again, he's so useful in the run game that it's tough to really sacrifice him against the tight end in coverage all the time. But at the same time, I was going to line up their tight end on the line anyway. So, I think it's a job probably for Kane. We'll see. And since Ryan Walters is running the defense now, we'll find out what he thinks.
Temporarily, at least. I don't know if he's going to be doing that for the whole season. But
I think he said he was, or at least most of it going forward.
Well, for year one, that's probably an okay thing to do. I just hope he doesn't have to be forced to do it every year.
I concur. Hopefully Coach Kane is taking some notes and, getting back in the flow. And will retain that job at some point in the future. All right, Garrett, let's talk about the Iowa defense. We've sort of covered the Iowa offense as best as we can, as far as any mortals can understand it. It's bad, but the defense is good, so let's talk about that.
Well, their defense is always good, and it's probably a surprise to nobody that their total defense through five games, and keep in mind, they are 4-1. Their total defense through the first five games of the year, they are currently ranked, I believe, 33rd. That's nothing to sneeze at. But here's where it's really, really scary for me. They're their pass defense, they've defended more passes than most teams in the country. They're one of few teams that have seen 190 or more pass plays ran against them, and they still give up the fewest yards per catch in the country. So it's a very, very consistent defense that'll just force you to get like 3 yard screen gains at best sometimes. And if they can really get that sort of like, you know, like stalwart, you're not going to get too many yards after the catch on us type coverage, it's going to be difficult for Purdue to get some pace, get some momentum. Their rush defense, kind of pedestrian statistically, but they're still only giving up like 3.8 yards per carry, and most of the teams around where they're ranked, they're tied 67th in rush defense. Most of the other teams around them are giving up about 4.6 yards per carry. So they're still even way lower in that regard. It's just that their offense doesn't stay on the field for very long, so they've seen a lot more plays than a lot of teams have.
Right.
But still they have the wherewithal and the hardiness to stay on the field that long and still be an effective defense, and that's just their brand of football and has been ever since Kirk Ferentz took over. When was that, 99? I was 4 years old and just moved to Georgia from Texas.
I was graduating high school.
Yeah, sorry to make you feel old. I feel like it's a weekly tradition at this point. I have to say something that makes Drew feel old. But here's something that'll make me feel old, is that the only Hawkeye I choose to recognize is Alan Alda playing Hawkeye Pierce in MASH. Find me another 28-year-old who loves MASH as much as I do.
That is a great show.
But yeah, I mean, this is a game, just given the statistics, I think this is a game that Purdue's really going to have to find pace offensively, starting with a run, unfortunately. And it's Iowa, man. Their interior run game, against the interior run, I should say, is always pretty good. Their defensive line this year is not very pressure-based, very, very much contained. And what did you say, Drew? Three sacks? Yeah, they only have 3 sacks this year. So
total, that's everybody.
That's everybody.
Not their best player.
Yeah.
Literally everybody on their team.
Through 5 games.
That's...
So maybe this is the game where Hudson Card can use his wheels and we just get chunks of yardage that way. Because if he's got enough time, I mean, Hudson Card really does have good vision as a runner. And he's good at like finding small holes and like shirking his shoulders through there and getting like an extra 2 yards before sliding and really not taking too much contact. So I think this might be the Hudson Card rushes for like 150 yards game. And that just might be the way Purdue needs to win if nothing else is happening offensively. If Hudson Card can just keep getting time and keep like just getting six yards here, 8 yards there, and avoid sacks that probably aren't coming. I think that's probably the key offensively here.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of look at what this Iowa defense has done to some pretty, in like super weird games too. So the Iowa Penn State debacle, where Penn State beat them 31-0 and Iowa only had 4 first downs. You still look, so Penn State's quarterback Drew Allar, right? He threw 37 passes, completed 68% of those passes, and had 166 yards passing.
Jesus.
Right? So, like, yards per attempt, 4.5. Adjusted yards per attempt, 6.6. I mean, they kept the Penn State offense just under wraps all game. They just kept turning the ball over, and eventually Penn State cashed in. But even the Penn State run game, Catron Allen, you know, Penn State's supposed to have one of the best offensive lines in the nation. Catron Allen, 21 carries for 72 yards, which is still only 3.5 an attempt, or 3.4 an attempt. Nick Singleton for Penn State, 17 attempts, 49 yards, 2.9. Like, Penn State was throwing everything at this Iowa defense, and they still couldn't get it to break, despite just living on the field. So, you know, Purdue's got to find a way to hit a couple big plays in this game.
Yes, that is what we were talking about right before recording this, was that if at at this point, we do trust Hudson Card. If he only gets three big play chances, he's going to hit maybe two out of three of those, I think we agreed on. And you're just going to have to get that run game going so where you get those safeties to bite and not just linger in the backfield that far back. And oh, if Hudson Card can get three chances, I think he hits two of them. And it's a hard secondary to go against, but I think the key here is starting off hard with the run and like committing to the run to begin with.
Yeah, I really want this to be the Tyrone Tracy game. Former Iowa Hawkeye, was sort of the story of most Iowa skill players, sort of an afterthought.
Underutilized skill player.
Surprise, surprise. And so now that he's moved to running back, I think Tyrone might want to show the Hawkeye coaching staff maybe what they missed out on. And, he's been the best back so far this year for Purdue. This is also what I wanted to wrap up finally after talking about the offense and defense is what I really feel like the key to this game is patience for Purdue. This isn't a game where Hudson Card can force things down the field. Iowa has Cooper DeJean back there. He's a stud, and he'll be probably a first-round corner in the next draft. They play one real deep safety, but their other safety doesn't come up much either. And Card is going to have to take those, 5 to 8 yard intermediate routes and be accurate. The offensive line is going to have to not hold and not commit false starts. What Iowa wants you to do is commit drive-killing penalties on your own so they can just sort of sit back, let you run the ball, tackle you, 3-4 yards down the field, let you catch the ball, 6-7 yard gains, and they just assume that eventually you're going to self-destruct. Purdue has done that so far this year, so not a bad strategy against the Boilermakers.
Last game cleaned up a lot, though. 3 penalties, 15 yards.
True. So I do feel like it's a game where if Iowa just keeps the lid on Purdue the entire game, I think they win. I think Purdue's going to need to hit a couple big plays to get some of that chunk yardage to keep them from just constantly having to drive the ball, 10, 15 plays to score. I think if Iowa was able to do that, Purdue commits too many penalties and turnovers. The other thing I want to talk about is Iowa's special teams, because
you can't not. Yeah, you have to talk about how good they are on special teams.
I want to go through the scoring summary of the Michigan State game. They just won 26-16. So, at the 11:25 mark in the first quarter, Drew Stevens' field goal. At the 3:48 mark in the second quarter, you have a Eric All touchdown. And so that gives them 10 points at halftime. And then you have, at the 7:38 mark of the third quarter, you've got a Drew Stevens field goal, 53-yarder. And then at the 5:19 mark, you've got a Drew Stevens 36-yard field goal. And then you've got a Cooper DeJean 70-yard punt return for a touchdown. And then a Drew Stevens 34-yard field goal to ice the game. So in the fourth quarter, they kicked. They started the fourth quarter 16-16 with Michigan State, kicked 2 field goals and returned a punt to win. They only had 61 rushing yards, 161 passing yards, 222 yards total, still won the game. That's because Michigan State committed 10 penalties, 494 yards, and committed 4 turnovers. So I think that's Purdue needs to look at what Michigan State did and do the opposite.
Yeah, ball security is going to be big here. We love crazy legs, but Maccabee's really got to clean that up, because if he coughs up the ball, that's just exactly what Iowa wants as part of their winning formula. And Ryan Walters said it in his press conference, and I don't think this was any sort of slight to Iowa or any sort of throwing of shade, as the kids say. Well, they probably don't say that anymore. I'm not a kid. But dude, if they can frustrate you and play that, like, sort of style of play where you hold your finger 5 inches from your older sister's head and say, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, and then wait for them to freak out. That's exactly what they want to do to win a game like 12-6 or something like that. Like, that's their entire style of play. It goes against most of modern college football, but they still get like 9-10 wins a year. It's weird, but it works for them. And you can't give them that I'm not touching you index finger from your sister's forehead power over you,
right?
I guess,
right.
If that's not too silly of an analogy.
Yeah, no, I agree. You can't let Iowa just bore you into submission. Also note, if you hear dogs in the background, my blind puppy is in the backyard and he's upset about something. Probably nothing, but he has the other dogs barking as well.
He doesn't have any toes to nibble on or lick, so that's probably why he's upset.
Yeah, no, he's a mess. But anyways, as I was saying, Iowa wants to bore you to death on offense. They want you to just, get used to them running the ball and throwing to the tight end, and then suddenly they decide, to take a shot down the field. And that's what Purdue can't do. Purdue can't get so bored in the secondary that they just turn someone loose and give Iowa 7 free points, because giving Iowa a touchdown is basically like giving Iowa 2 touchdowns.
Dude, I almost said the exact same thing. That makes perfect sense to anybody who knows how Iowa plays.
Yeah, like, you can't give them points because that's how they win games. And so they win games with interceptions, field position, Purdue can't give them that, which is tough because that's what Purdue's been giving away all year. And again, the same thing with their defense. They want you to get bored and frustrated, like Garrett was saying. They want you to make plays you normally wouldn't make because you're just so tired of dumping the ball off to your running backs and like receivers on just short patterns, and just watching their linebackers and safeties come up and tag them, because that's what Iowa does. They're a good tackling team in the secondary, which allows them to play this bend-don't-break defense, because when the other team's players catch the ball, they actually get them on the ground, which is key to that style of defense.
You were saying... This is going to have to be a game where the offense is patient. Like, in the first half, you can't just get frustrated with the fact that you're only getting 3-yard gains over and over. Sometimes that's just how you have to play against Iowa, because, they're one of the few teams that they can have their defense on the field for that long. Like, they can lose the possession battle in terms of time of possession. But still just totally control games. It's weird. It's, some might say, antiquated, but it works for them. You really have to be patient in the first half, because I think, we honestly saw this against Illinois last week, it's a game that Purdue's going to have to win in the second half. They're not going to score 44 like they did last week, I don't think, but you have to be patient offensively and just take what they're giving you. Because when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, like, if you're going to beat Iowa, you're probably beating them by, like, one possession if you don't beat them 31-0, because they just can't get it going offensively, like Penn State did.
Right. No, that's pretty much it. And, yeah, it's sort of a weird combo with Iowa, because, like you were saying, you got to take what they give you, but every now and then you've got... I'm hoping that Graham Harrell will challenge them down the field some, because I don't feel like you can just get into that short game, let Iowa dictate everything to you. I'd like to see Purdue maybe with a couple double moves, maybe get the run game going, and maybe try Miller, one of those shot plays to Miller in the slot.
I was about to say, I drew up a fantasy play that involved Miller doing just that in my head.
Yeah, no, so I feel like Purdue has to be very smart and measured in when they choose to attack down the field.
Yes, take your chances when they're the most appropriate chances to take.
Right, so like when you hit that 50-yard line... that's when you're looking for it. So even a turnover doesn't hurt you that much. You're still giving the ball to Iowa.
Yeah, at that point, if you had thrown an interception, it's an arm punt.
Yeah, but we can't turn the ball over in our territory because Iowa's just going to at least kick a field goal. Apparently, their kicker is really good.
Yeah, if you can hit 55 yards outside, like, hats off, man.
Yeah, so anyways, Garrett, what are you thinking for a score in this bad boy?
Well, so I think this is going to be a game where Iowa just doesn't find any sort of offense, but their defense and special teams does keep it low scoring, does keep it close, but I do think Purdue wins. I don't think it's by more than, let's say, 9 points. Let's say Purdue 20, Iowa 13.
Ooh. See, I've got it close to that. I've got Purdue winning this as well. I just feel like Purdue has enough playmakers. And with Iowa just really struggling on offense, especially with the new quarterback who has a totally different style than the guy he was replacing. You know, you go from McNamara, who's mobile, gets outside the pocket, makes plays, and I assume their entire offense was sort of geared to that in the offseason. Now you've got a guy that's more of a traditional pocket passer. It's a big transition.
A 260-pound transition.
A big 250-pound transition. Well, the thing that really scares me is Iowa just running the ball like Wisconsin did. I don't think their offensive line is that good, or at least to the caliber of Wisconsin's. And I'm not sure the running back situation is, you know, Allen is an exceptional back for Wisconsin. And while Iowa... Now Garrett's got me going. Iowa has some backs. I don't think they have that caliber back. So I got Purdue 27-24 pulling this thing out in the late in the fourth, maybe with a game-winning touchdown to seal the deal, which probably means Iowa's going to win.
But. Yeah, we're typically not great at doing these, but we were right about last week, baby.
We were. So it's 2 weeks in a row we're going to be able to get on a heater. Anyways, y'all have a nice weekend. Hopefully it's going to be some nice weather. It's going to be a little chilly in Iowa. Highs in the low 60s. So
that's chilly for us. We live in a freaking armpit.
That's true. So, you know, if you're going to Iowa City, you can bundle up and be safe. And we'll see y'all next week for the talking about another big Purdue win.
Yeah, hopefully. And bring us back some corn. We do like to grill corn. Everybody likes corn. And y'all come back now, you hear?
Peace.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'll clip a lot of